Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Roster right here, and they don't look too bad. I certainly don't think they'll be the
worst team in the league, let alone the East next year. I think they're going to be a pretty young, scrappy team now that I look at them. The teams I'm looking at most this year, though, would probably be the Denver Nuggets with the plethora of players that they have, both young and veteran. Wise players like Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Michigan State, thank you. Nikola Jokic, they did just sign Isaiah Thomas to a one-year deal. I know they don't have Wilson Chandler anymore, Kendall Faried, but the team is still pretty young. And great things are expected from that team, at least from me anyway. But I can now say that the Bulls are finally starting to turn some heads, and adding Jabari Parker only makes the Bulls that much better than they were last year. In 2016, when he was healthy, Jabari Parker did average 20 points per game with a true shooting percentage of 56.3. But in 2017, in February, when he tore his left ACL the second time over a span of 28 months. The injury does kind of scare me a little bit, but I feel like this is going to be a good year for Jabari Parker, a chance for him to get back to the production he was used to in 2016, maybe even better. I mean, a lot more opportunities, of course, will be centered around him, I believe, him and Markkanen, on the offensive end, I should say, with him being back. I mean, the guy is still young. He's home. I don't see Derrick Rose Part 2 playing out in Jabari Parker. I think the first injury was fluke, but the second one did scare me. But hopefully he has a good season. I'm a big Jabari Parker fan. I wish he would have stayed with Milwaukee. I felt like that was a young, good core that they had over there and that they should have kept him, you know, Jabari Parker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, Malcolm Brogdon. I keep going on about that team because I like the Milwaukee Bucks and I like Jabari Parker. I felt like letting him go would be a mistake, but let's see how both teams pans out. Do the Milwaukee Bucks play harder, better, actually make a bigger name for themselves this year without Jabari Parker, or are they going to miss him? And this is ultimately going to be the Bulls' biggest pickup this offseason besides drafting Wendell Carter Jr. and keeping Lauri Markkanen and the rest of those guys happy, even though they did let go of Zach LaVine. Hey, if you guys had anything to say about the new Chicago Bulls, especially if you're from the city of Chicago, about your excitement, your disappointment, what you think about his health, how you think his game will complement the other players and stars on the Chicago Bulls, please do not hesitate. Call in at 949-270-5945. I'm going to play some more NBA tunes here. A little short music just to lighten the mood. Because I am moving on to the next topic. And I know it's a topic that most of us are tired of hearing. Probably wouldn't even care, but it's still an interesting topic. I am talking about the Spurs megastar, for now, Kawhi Leonard. He's eligible for the Supermax contract. How would trade impact his money? So I'm going to break this down. He's eligible for the Supermax, and with the Spurs, this guy will be ready to make $219 million. Most he's ever made, and yes, that is a lot of money, folks. But the question is money enough to sway him, to make him tough it out, or work out the relationship that he has with this Spurs franchise? And the question is, I really don't know. We've been kept in the dark about Kawhi Leonard for some time. I think the only other news we've heard about Kawhi Leonard was him being spotted in Vegas for summer league with his former teammate and now Orlando Magic player, Jonathan Simmons. But, hey, it's the, what you say, third year anniversary of his contract. I think he signed back in July sometime in 2015. But he can receive a five-year, $221 million extension from the Spurs. Excuse me, I thought it was $219. If Leonard is traded, the most he could receive is an extension 6 months after the trade, and it would be only $108 million over 4 years. But starting in 2019-2020 campaign, Leonard would be eligible to sign a five-year, $190 million contract as a free agent, with the team acquiring him, or four years, $141 million, with a team that has cap space. Leonard would not be Supermax eligible as a free agent with the new team acquiring him, even if he earned all NBA honors in 2018-19. Now, we talk about financial situations in the NBA for a lot of players. We've talked about it with Isaiah Thomas, who still hasn't got his payday, highly because of his injury, maybe because of his size, or what teams really think he can do and if he's worth the money. We've talked about DeMarcus Cousins, once again, of course, with an injury. Being a big man with an injury like an Achilles is very scary. A lot of teams would, you know, hesitate, as we saw, which included him signing a pretty much peanut deal, $5.3 million, with the defending champion Golden State Warriors. Now we move on to Kawhi Leonard, who was hurt most of the season, last season, and only played 9 games. But this is NBA champion and MVP, a two-time defensive player of the year, one of the only people in the NBA known to be able to give LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and a couple other stars a tough time on both ends of the court. Definitely worth the money. But with this being said, I said it about Jimmy Butler as well when he rejected his four-year $110 million. And a lot of people think that it's a financial move. I think it's a cry for help, or pretty much writing on the wall that he does not want to be in Minnesota. With that being said, I think it would be pretty hard for him to leave a star like Karl Anthony Towns, the young and upcoming Andrew Wiggins, and that young Bulls team. I say Bulls team for the simple fact that's what they're reminding me with all these former Bulls players and who they're looking at. I mean, come on, Joakim Noah, Luol Deng on your radar. You already have Taj Gibson. You recently signed Derrick Rose, and you traded for Jimmy Butler last season. I call them the Minnesota Bulls or the Chicago Timberwolves. But this young Timberwolves team that has so much talent and potential, even though they traded a boy, my boy Ricky Rubio, who's looking very good with the Utah Jazz, expect big things from that this year. But a lot of people question Jimmy's desire to stay. We see writing on the wall that he wants to leave, that he's tired of the young boys' antics. I figure that he would mentor them, you know. He would, of course, it's going to take time and patience. Maybe they don't have the best relationship, but it is a pretty good team on paper, but a toxic relationship it looks like. Except $110 million, yes, he can go. He can put another year under his belt to make more money the year after. I think he will be able to sign about 180 instead of 110, a 70 more, you know, 70 more million that he can add to his contract and put into his pocket. Or he could look to go back east to play with one of his friends and former adversaries in Kyrie Irving, on which we're so unclear about his future as well. Would he still be a Boston Celtic after this year? Or is he going to go home to New York? Which seems very possible, even though they do have the young Frank Ntilikina over there. Just drafted Knox. KP should be back healthy. I'm pretty sure they're still looking to shop Joakim Noah's horrible contract. You still have Tim Hardaway Jr. over there. A lot of potential over there. New head coach in Fizdale, who I believe shouldn't have been fired from Memphis, but hey, sometimes ish that just happens, you know what I'm saying? But Kawhi Leonard, would he be able to set his feelings aside to stay with his organization? I believe it's still a good fit in the organization. It's been proven. He's played alongside some of the greats like Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, who is no longer with the Spurs, and is said to have had some doing of him being uncomfortable and not trusting the Spurs organization as a whole, questioning his toughness and pretty much taking shots at him through the media and through, I guess you could say, medical staffing. He is now with the Charlotte Hornets, and I question his motive and his moves to move over to Charlotte, which is not a bad team. I mean, with the couple of trades that they did make, I think they took a step back. But that, we only can predict that, seeing what they do through the season and well, the moves they make before the season starts. But I question that motive as well to go to Charlotte for, I believe, about 2 years. But is money enough to sway Kawhi Leonard's his mind? I know he didn't want to be here. He had his mind made up. We hear different reports and rumors about him wanting to go to L.A., more so to the Clippers than the Lakers, now that LeBron has touched down in La La Land for the Los Angeles Lakers and will be donning the purple and gold next year. Really don't know how true that is. Like I said, I like to hear it from the horse's mouth, and let's just face it, Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk as much. The most we've been able to get out of him is what we hear from his agent, and who knows if that is completely true. Of course, the rumors will be made up. But is money enough to sway Kawhi Leonard to stay? You have a great coach, Hall of Fame coach, one of the best coaches to ever do, and Greg Popovich. You still have a mixture of young, veteran guys. You're a cornerstone to this franchise. I believe you, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeJounte Murray, Bertans, and a couple other guys that I like on this roster should give it another shot. Rumors of LaMarcus Aldridge being moved. I was kind of pissed that they let Kyle Anderson go to the Memphis Grizzlies. They did not match. Tony Parker is gone to the Charlotte Hornets. That's one problem going. He might be able to get something pulled back for LaMarcus Aldridge to help you guys become another high-end contender in the West. I never count the Spurs out for the simple fact they have Greg Popovich and this supporting cast that they did have. Manu Ginobili is not getting any younger. Really don't know if this will be his last year, if he's even returning this year. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully the Spurs have not given up. They still haven't found a trade that they like. I know they've been asking for the house for Kawhi Leonard, and most teams are hesitant to bite on it because they don't want Kawhi Leonard as a one-year rental. Because after next year, he is a free agent. He is free to go wherever he wants, whether he's going home to L.A. or he's going to the East Coast. Maybe to the Boston Celtics or a contender in the East, Toronto, Milwaukee possibly. I'm a Pistons fan, so him coming to Detroit doesn't seem any likely, but hey, it would have been nice. It's nice to dream, right? Pipe dream, I know. Or he can stay in the West and go to L.A., whether he's teaming with LeBron James in purple and gold, or he's looking to be the face of the franchise, as the rumors suggest, and going to the Clippers, going head-to-head against LeBron James, which would also be kind of fun to see for the simple fact the Los Angeles Clippers, since Kobe's retirement, since the spiral, have been the better team, you know, in L.A. for the last couple of years. But Lakers have the most upside to me, and they're on the rise, especially gaining the best player in the universe in LeBron James. I couldn't understand why, you know, some stars just rather not deal with LeBron James. Maybe is it because he expects perfection or whatnot attitude, but this guy is coming into his 16th season looking for a lighter workload. So I think we're going to see a more relaxed LeBron James mentoring these guys, taking the load off, and depending on his teammates, especially with the three veterans that they add, who he has a checker pass with at least two of them, I believe. Hopefully they pull it together, they put these IQs together, they can teach these young boys and do something. Adding Kawhi Leonard only makes your chances of getting far in the West that much better, so I believe. But he's now eligible for the Supermax contract most players drool over. What do you think the man will do? Let me know how you feel about the Spurs organization and Kawhi Leonard's decision, what you think will happen. 949-270-5945. I'll move on to the next subject, another subject that we've dabbled in over the last couple of days. And, yes, I'm talking about the perfect fit for the Carmelo Anthony, which I believe is Houston. Of course, you guys already know the other candidates, that being the Miami Heat. I think Denver and Portland should be in the picture, but I've heard nothing from them. But the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers, and I've kind of let my feelings be heard on this. I feel like a homecoming with Denver would be pretty nice with that young core, to rebuild a relationship with his former team that he forced a trade from to join the New York Knicks way back when. I think Carmelo Anthony could still be pretty productive on each end of the floor, and he can mentor those guys in Denver, seeing as how they're in need of a wing after trading Wilson Chandler. I know they still have Will Barton, who can play the two or the three. They did trade Kenneth Faried, signed Isaiah Thomas to just the one-year deal, so they have plenty of money that they can throw at Carmelo's way for sure. I feel like Portland and Houston were two teams that were highly coveted position to land Carmelo Anthony during last year's trade deadline, but ultimately he ended up at OKC, which seemed pretty good to me on paper, but just didn't work out with him playing at the four position. I think he's a true three. Too many threes is bad for his game. I believe he needs to be in the paint, in the post, and he needs to give better effort on defense. With that being said, he's not a spring chicken anymore either, him and LeBron being around the same age, but both still can compete at a high level. I think it's just nights where Melo gives it his all and nights where Melo is just off. I don't know what that has to do with him mentally, if something's going on besides his breakup with Lala. Really don't know how their relationship is going, but nevertheless, putting him on a good team and giving him a chance to compete is what I would like to see. I think he'll play at a higher level. And I believe that's possible in the West, the tougher conference with the Houston Rockets or probably, you know, the Portland Trail Blazers. I believe Denver would be good enough to make the playoffs and make some noise with him if he did decide to return. If he went east to the Miami Heat, as rumored, Pat Riley is no stranger to trying to bring Carmelo to the Miami Heat before, back in the LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Big Three era, but failed to add the fourth All-Star and ultimately led to LeBron James leaving and going back home to Cleveland. With this being said, this could be a second shot. Would he roll the dice on him is the question. We've looked at Carmelo's game for the past 3 years now, and he hasn't looked the same. He's had moments where he scored 62 at the Garden. He's had moments where he played defense and tortured other defenses in the post. We have moments where he's just hot. He's unselfish. You know what I'm saying? He's actually doing things we're not used to him seeing. Not since Denver Nugget Carmelo Anthony actually playing defense. More athletic, more younger, I get it. But as time goes on, you get wiser and you get better. You find easier ways to score or get your teammates involved. You try to reduce your injury and play at the highest level to make it as far as you can. But with that being said, who knows where he ends. But I think the Houston Rockets is the best fit. I would love to see a homecoming in Denver. I think the most terrible fit probably for me would be for the Lakers, being that they already have a young core and this three position. I know he can still play the four, but the three position. They can even go small and put him or LeBron at center, which I don't recommend. Maybe LeBron, he could play all five positions. But Carmelo at the defensive liability, I don't recommend. You have young guys like Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma. I can't pronounce his name, but he's been going ham in the summer league. I believe he knows who I've been talking about. Civi, I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. Maybe you guys remember or understand or not. Julius Randle was gone. Bad decision by me, but I can't wait to see what he's going to do with the New Orleans Pelicans. You don't really have much at center, but JaVale McGee was looking to try and add Clint Capella, who is restricted, by the way. And I believe the Rockets could contend with whatever the Lakers will be able to offer, since they only have room for one more max player. And seeing how Melo wants the bag as well, as we say nowadays, I don't know if adding him just because he's LeBron James' friend over the course of the next year or 3 years or so would be pretty good. You fall in good graces with the King, but it might stunt the growth of other young players on that Lakers squad. I'm pretty excited to see what the Lakers are going to do this season. I have no high expectations saying that they're going all the way to the Western Conference Finals to beat either the Golden State Warriors or the Houston Rockets, or to many people's surprise, it might be Oklahoma City. Who knows? But with that being said, I'm not going to say that the Lakers are just going to fly through the West. I think this is going to be their most celebrated yet difficult season yet, adding LeBron James, the megastar that he is, the attention that he brings, the expectation of a championship since he's been the last 8 years would bring. I don't think Carmelo Anthony fits this style. Maybe if they went to Houston, it would have been more likely for the Banana Bro crew, or at least three of the Banana Boat Crew to join Houston and cause a ruckus in the Western Conference. It definitely would have panned out for great TV and a great showdown against the Golden State Warriors, who too have four All-Stars, now five, even though Boogie is not scheduled to return until late December, mid-February. I think Clint Capella would match up against him nicely in the post game. As far as offensively, I think Boogie would have the edge if he can get back to that All-Star MVP level of playing. Who knows with that Achilles injury? Not saying he'll have to do much. But back to Carmelo Anthony, I think the best fit is Houston, obviously. OKC still has not found a suitable trade for the former All-Star. But it's probably looking to buy him out and let him free agent shop on his own. So I would say Houston first, even though they're not on the radar. I would say Portland would be number two. Denver would be three. Miami would be fourth. And I'm sorry, even though the Lakers are on the list, I'm going to have to put them at last on five unless they decide to get rid of some of that young talent. Which is retarded to me in a trade for the simple fact I like the young core of the Lakers, and if you're going to trade for Carmelo Anthony and Kawhi Leonard obviously a big thumbs up. Who knows how these three is going to pay, if it's going to be enough ball to go around. I think Lonzo Ball, Rajon Rondo, LeBron James would be more than happy to distribute this ball. But rotations would be in a flux. I don't know how it would work, and you'll be giving up potential stars and superstars with this youth to get older and put yourselves in a win-now moment. You never know which Melo you're going to get. I think Kawhi Leonard would be fine. LeBron James would be more than happy. But you got to look at this youth and look towards the future and not just win now. The Purple and Gold have not been in the Western Conference Finals for some time now, and they haven't had much effort. You know, controversy since the retirement year for Kobe. New coach in Luke Walton, Brian Shaw, Simon. I like the coaching staff. I like the direction that the Lakers are going in. Yes, you have a couple veterans, but you have more youth with potential, star potential, that is, even though you let Julius Randle go. But you have more youth with star potential and the right veterans to lead these guys, to give them a tough skin, to raise their IQ, to help these guys on both ends of the floor and add to their game. I don't know if adding Carmelo Anthony to the Lakers is right. You don't want to make players play their best only to chase the bag to not play again. I've seen it time and time again throughout this league. The Miami Heat would be interesting with Josh Richardson and some of the youth over there. You won't be taking too much away. Deion Waiters will be back. Hassan Whiteside should actually start playing like he's an all-star, that he's worth the contract that was given to him. His good old buddy Dwayne Wade is over there, one half of the Banana Boat Crew. If they could make some noise in the East next year or this coming season, definitely would be a playoff team. I think they're a playoff team now. Goran Dragic still over there. I think it'll be a nice fit with the Heat. Portland, don't know if they're deciding to keep Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum, or looking to shop one of the two. You still have Yusuf Nurkic over there. He's pretty good when healthy. Al-Farouq Aminu, a solid four and backup. Carmelo Anthony to that mix. Could catapult Portland out of the first round or the second round that we're so used to see them getting stuck at. Damian Lillard, playing alongside another all-star, could become an all-star this year, not being snubbed. CJ McCollum and Dame will obviously thrive tremendously from having Carmelo down there in the post with Nurkic, or being able to pass out to a Carmelo Anthony or a Al-Farouq Aminu, who shot pretty decent from the three-point percentage this last year. The bench, however, will still need a bit of a boost with Myles Leonard and Shabazz Napier obviously being the best bench players that they have. Really not too excited about how they drafted. Was mad that Markkanen became a Bull. He would be thriving right now. Even though they got Swanigan, Devontae's favorite, I'm pretty sure he would have a lot to say about it. Really don't know how he feels about any of these topics. Hopefully he listens the day before 7:30. Don't forget to tune in. But if you guys have anything to say about anything we've talked about while we're on the NBA, and I move into the last topic about Jabari Parker officially signing with the Bulls and how he fits in, Kawhi Leonard now eligible for the Supermax contract most players drool over. Will he stay or will he go? Did they find the perfect trade or the perfect fit for Carmelo Anthony, whether that be Houston, OKC, Miami, or L.A.? Or what do you guys think? Maybe you can see him somewhere else. Please do not hesitate. Call it at 949-270-5945. I did start the show a bit late due to a new start time that I have to get used to, so you guys bear with me, but you can, however, tune in from Monday to Wednesday for the 2 o'clock edition of Sportsline Live Noon. I am your host, Troy Granville. Don't forget to branch out. I'm pretty sure Devontae will give me a shout-out on the show. So those of you who don't catch the late show can actually catch the earlier show in the day, Monday through Wednesday. I will be back on Thursday at regular time, 7:30 to 8:30 for 1 hour. And Friday, me and Devontae will do the show together as a schedule. Once again, 7:30 to about 8:30, maybe branch out to 9. So I do encourage you guys to listen in, to tell your family, tell your friends, to even tell your coworkers. Shout us out on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. I know I'm going to be doing that as well for more listeners and more input, because we really like to hear what you guys have to say. So moving into the last subject, it really is not NBA related. I have been watching Summer League. I watched Detroit get destroyed by the Los Angeles Lakers, which was semi-sweet. I like what the Pistons were doing. Not too happy about our draft picks, but we only can blame Stan Van Gundy for so much. But I'm still optimistic about the season with my team coming in. I expect the Detroit Pistons, under new head coach Dwayne Casey, to make it to the playoffs. This is our best chance. I feel like we have the team, youth, and veteran leadership on our team to be at least a top four seed in the Eastern Conference, with Charlotte falling back, us not knowing how well Miami and Milwaukee is going to be this season. Maybe we can get a leg up on these guys. I'm pretty sure we're a lot better than the Chicago Bulls are currently. But the trade deadline could change that, and the rest of free agency could as well. With that being said, under new head coach Dwayne Casey, with a healthy roster, we look like a playoff team in the East that can contend with the best of them. Yes, I'm talking about the Boston Celtics. Yes, I'm talking about the Washington Wizards, the Toronto Raptors, the Philadelphia 76ers, you name it. And no, it's not because Andre Drummond is posting videos of him shooting threes. I expect his game to still be pretty solid. Don't know if he decided to do that because we have a hybrid of big man in the league, or was it because Joel Embiid destroyed this guy and talked trash to him every time they met last year, which pissed me off. But yeah, with a healthy roster, healthy Blake Griffin, healthy Reggie Jackson, we still have a youth and Stanley Johnson, Luke Kennard, and Henry Ellison, who I expect to see more time and developed under Dwayne Casey, the time that they did not see with Stan Van Gundy. Pretty good. We do not have Anthony Tolliver, but we did retain some of our veteran players like Ish Smith. Reggie Bullock was pretty good for the Pistons last year, especially with the injuries that came up for the Pistons. We signed Zaza Pachulia, former champion and Golden State Warrior, who is pronounced as a dirty player, not one of my favorites in the league, but I pretty much think he can help us, you know, get a couple extra W's with his style of play, not hoping that he injures anybody or anything, just his style of play would help. He bring a lot of championship experience. Hopefully he doesn't teach anybody how to play dirty. Yes, I'm taking shots at the guy because I'm not the biggest Zaza Pachulia fan, but I am happy to see the success that he's had over the years, becoming a three-time NBA All-Star, a two-time NBA champion. And his offense and defense pretty much levels itself out at his age. With that being said, we did draft Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas, two other players we look to see develop, because Dwayne Casey is a good developing coach. Most players don't think he's a good head coach, but I beg to differ with his record from the start of his career to the most noticeable, his time being in Toronto as the head coach, what he's been able to do with that team as far as winning season, developing players, and also being fired after winning Coach of the Year. With that being said, the Raptors felt very clear that they wanted to move on, seeing as how this is probably one of the best teams that they had last year to go through the East and get to the NBA Finals, finally beat LeBron James and whoever else popped up in their way, and it was another dud. With that being said, the Pistons have not made anybody else available, even though Stan Van Gundy said nobody is untouchable. He is not the general manager anymore or head coach, and I believe Dwayne Casey has not had any input, seeing as how we're still looking for a general manager who very well could be Chauncey Billups. But with that being said, I think we have the youth, the veteran leadership. I think Dwayne Casey is going to do a good job with this roster as far as developing our youth and giving our veterans a bit more of a leash and a, how you say, rest, so we don't have have so many injuries. 50-plus wins, maybe 60 is what I see for my Detroit Pistons team, and that's not just because I'm biased and a hometown boy. It's what I truly believe. And now, toss-up Eastern Conference. I said I believe it's a toss-up between Boston and Philly, but I have not taken my eyes off teams like the Washington Wizards, the Miami Heat, the Milwaukee Bucks, and, yes, even my Detroit Pistons. So that's what I think about my hometown. If you have anything to say about your hometown or my Detroit Pistons and the new look era and way that we're looking to stepping forward in with Dwayne Casey, hopefully have a new GM that could make a couple trades before the end of the deadline, the free agency, and maybe who could make a big splash in the deadline next year, please do not hesitate. Call in at 949-270-5945. I will be switching gears here, and I will let you know with this theme right here. Last show on Friday, I believe, I'm not going to nominations this year. But no excuses. I did say that in the middle of the night, National Anthem and its policy, the agreement to stand back, the other players in trouble all by themselves. A lot of things that can affect the career, whether he's young or old in the NFL. Good length of time in the NFL. If not getting this lawsuit for by the NFL, because action could pop up a lot in the career. But nevertheless, I'm still excited about it. I have a lot of mistakes, a lot of deals. For some franchises. For fans like me, I get to watch this every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday, possibly some Saturday games if needed be, to look at some of my favorite teams, especially my Detroit Lions, who I'm rooting for heavy this year, and just get a good look at certain players, because as you know, fantasy football is a big thing with me and Devontae and the rest of our family and friends, our crew that play this every year. Still waiting on my boy Darrell West, who I'm giving a shout-out, the young Detroit rapper, Mr. Tweed, but also known as Wadir. Sorry, I had to give my friend a shout-out there, but he is the new champion of the Fantasy Football League, and we are still waiting on him to create the league so we can join. We do play through ESPN. I will be doing my mock drafts, making up my list of players I'm going to take a chance on this year and players who I expect and guarantee will have a good season with their former or new team. With that being said, the Chicago Bears do take on the Baltimore Ravens Thursday on the 2nd, first of many preseason games. I believe it was cut back from 8 to 4. I think it should be cut back from 4 to 3 just to get a taste. You don't want any injuries in OTA, practice, training camp, Lord forbid. Some players have not even shown up to that for the simple fact they have not gotten their new contract, and some have did despite that. With that being said, you don't want any of your players getting hurt, injured, outworked. You want to come into this season healthy as possible, and I'm too excited about the NFL season. I've been waiting on this and drooling over it since the Super Bowl, in which the Patriots were defeated by the Philadelphia Eagles. With that being said, I'm curious to see how Carson Wentz looks this year, how many more years Brady and Belichick have. I give it one, maybe two. Tom Brady isn't getting any older. A rumor speculating these guys. Of course, they let a bunch of player goes. But one of the teams that fascinate me are the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Los Angeles Rams. For one, the Pittsburgh Steelers have not been able to get Le'Veon Bell to sign an extension, and from the horse's lips, he might sit out half the season if the deal isn't done. The Los Angeles Rams in familiar territory. I don't know how well Donald will sit out. I haven't heard it, but a high-end D tackle that has no new deal either going into the season. This is very scary because the Los Angeles Rams look scary. The defense is scary. The offense is scary. It can only get better. Dez Bryant is still a free agent. Aaron Rodgers wants to play until he's 40. Sherman dishes on the end of Seattle and his cornerback training camp he now has set up with the 49ers. Nobody expected him to be with the 49ers, but hey, it happened. But yes, let me stick to one subject at a time. And Michael Irvin agrees with the Hall of Fame on T.O. I might have time to get into it. I might not, but here we go. I'm going to jump into it. It is currently 2:46. The show is over at 3, so let's get cracking. Steelers hoping to get Bell an extension. Le'Veon Bell for a number of years. I'm going to say this is probably third, maybe fourth year this guy has been looking to get paid with an extension. He obviously wants to be a Steeler for life. I wouldn't be too mad if the guy wanted to come home to Detroit, Michigan, stay all day. Or I could see him in a different uniform this year, maybe taking Shady spot or whatever other running back has not been productive or in a little bit of trouble this year. As you know, DeMarco Murray is retiring, and he is not the only running back retiring this year or at the end of this year. With that being said, I believe Le'Veon Bell has earned his money. He's been very productive, even with the injuries that he's procured. He's been a very big piece to the Steelers' offense. Not name Antonio Brown, but the Steelers did retain Big Ben. Antonio Brown is still here. You want to keep a guy like Le'Veon Bell to keep that Super Bowl window kind of stretched open for you guys, and losing him would be a big hit. With that being said, they do have running backs on a depth chart that could take over the position but won't be as productive, trust me. Signing Le'Veon Bell or getting him a signing extension is a must, not only to keep that Super Bowl window open, but to maybe persuade some other stars from leaving as well or jumping ship on the Steelers. We don't know how long Big Ben is going to be there, if Mike Tomlin's job is going to be on the line this season, if Antonio Brown may look to try and get traded or, you know, just pull in more money for the hell of it. With that being said, Le'Veon Bell is a must sign, and they need to get this deal done. I do encourage the L.A. Rams, even though I believe they've won the offseason this year, to get a deal done with Donald. For the simple fact, you do not want to let a highly coveted defensive player like that get away, slip through your fingers. Kind of like, I'll take a shot at my own city. Kind of like Detroit deals and Ndamukong Suh. With that being said, which is probably a business or financial reason for him. With that being said, I believe the Rams and the Steelers need to get on a job and make sure these guys are signed. Moving on to the next topic, Darren Sproles set to retire after this season. Not surprising, Darren Sproles has put his time in the league, put up great career numbers as a running back, slot receiver, and kick returner. Sad to see him go, but happy for the guy. He did get a Super Bowl ring. Guy did put up numbers, and I think he's ready to ride off into the sunset, and he's going to give it one more go with the defending Super Bowl champs before he decides to hang it up and call it quits. Do the Eagles get back to the Super Bowl and win back-to-back championships? One of the most hardest features to do in just about any sport. But with that being said, it's been a hell of a career to Darren Sproles, and I salute you, my guy. I hope this season you perform better than you ever did before going out. And who knows, you might have a spot on my fantasy team. This old man still can play, I will say that. One of the speedy, short receivers, hard to tackle, very elusive at his age, and still productive when not injured, but that's anybody, right? With that being said, he is not the only running back that is set to retire this year at the end of the year. I believe you all heard about DeMarco Murray pretty much retiring after 7 seasons in the NFL after being MVPs of 2014, or the Offensive Player of the Year, I should say, in 2014. Moving on from the Dallas Cowboys, one of the best offensive lines in the league, to the Philadelphia Eagles, where he was not utilized correctly, only to land with the Tennessee Titans, who I thought looked good on paper, but underperformed and still made it to the playoffs somehow. He's now set to hand the reins over to Derrick Henry, something a lot of people should be looking at, especially if you're a big fantasy football head like myself. Looking to pick up Derrick Henry and run with that young group over there. Although I do not have the Titans winning that division this year. With that being said, we will have to get more in depth on football on the next show, which I am highly up to do. We do have better topics as well. Hopefully we have more callers that call in this show or later on today to give the Varmint some questions. Thursday and Friday we will be back together if he does not have a rehearsal, but most likely I'll be doing the show at a regular time, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., and we'll get to talk then. Friday, both of us will be here, and we really hope you listeners start to call in and put in your two cents, your input. But Darren Sproles, I tip my hat to you, brother. I enjoyed watching you over the years, and hopefully you guys can do something pretty special this year. A lot of people have put in perspective that if Carson Wentz would have been the quarterback leading this team into the playoffs, into the Super Bowl, that they probably wouldn't have made it as far or got that Super Bowl. I think that is blasphemy. I believe this guy was the MVP. He had a wonderful season. The left ACL tear derailed him and kind of took a lot of credibility from it, but I think they still would have been able to go pretty far in the playoffs. You still had Nick Foles as a backup if anything else happened, and I think Carson Wentz could have led this team to a Super Bowl. Well, he's pretty much going to be looking to turn heads this year. At the end of the day, he's still a Super Bowl champion. He was on that team, and he led them, the dog pound, as they called themselves, the underdogs, I'm sorry, to a playoff winning season and to the playoffs. Nick Foles came in and did a great job as the veteran and a leader, leading these guys to the playoffs, and that defense is big, has a big part to play in that. They shut down one of the game's greatest of all time, maybe, in Tom Brady, a Matt Patricia defense that could not contain that offense, and these guys got around the defense. They got through the Brady-Belichick connection, which only a couple teams have had success over in the years, specifically the New York Giant in not one but two Super Bowl championship games. With that being said, what do you guys expect from your hometown team? I will start, but before that, if you guys have anything to say about this, hoping to get Bell an extension, Darren Sproles retirement, and maybe what to expect from your hometown team this year, or even the fantasy football, please do not hesitate. 949-270-5945. It is 2:53. We have a couple minutes, 7 minutes left for the show. Do not shy away to call in. With that being said, what do you expect from your hometown team? I know I said I was going to be watching the Giants this year, a little bit of the Pittsburgh Steelers, as I always do. Of course, I'm going to be watching Brady and the Patriots, but I'm so happy just for just about any team, especially the new-look Browns this year, who I have high hopes for. But my hometown team, the Detroit Lions, I have faith in. We're going to rely on our depth and our health. We come into this season healthy, our offensive line, healthy, our quarterback, healthy, our wideouts, healthy, our running backs, healthy, our defensive backs, safeties, healthy. Nothing but the sky is the limit. Matthew Stafford has improved year after year with his accuracy. We know he has arm strength. And when he's healthy, he plays at his best. We call him the comeback king, the Lion King, whatever you want to call him, even though I hate playing from behind. Should have been in the playoffs last year. No excuses, but we failed. We have a new head coach, and Matt Patricia, very defensive-minded. We let go of Terrell Austin. We still kept our offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, who Matthew Stafford seems to like, was a quarterback coach. Now he is the quarterback and offensive coach. So I expect our playbook to be wide open. Newly added Patriot LeGarrette Blount, or should I say former Patriot LeGarrette Blount, because we have a couple former Patriots in his organization, starting with our general manager, Bob Quinn, who worked wonders for the Patriots roster. I'm looking for that to set in here in our era and franchise with the Detroit Lions. We've added Matt Patricia, former defensive coach for the New England Patriots, and now we have a former running back who was an Eagle and Super Bowl champion last year, not to mention he's won a championship with the Patriots, also played for the Steelers, been quite of a journeyman, LeGarrette Blount, who had a pretty productive season with the Eagles last year, did most of his dirty work in the playoffs with former running backs, with his former running back teammates. With that being said, we add him to a young core that includes Ameer Abdullah, who has been underachieving with the bad O-line that we've had. Theo Riddick, who's been a great slot receiver, has one of the best hands out of the backfield. And a couple other young running backs who shows potential. Zach Zenner, Dwayne Washington. about LeGarrette Blount, definitely a third down back that we needed. A guy, a power back that can punch it through the goal line, could break out and pick up heavy momentum in the open field, making guys miss or pretty much just running and trucking through them. A mini beast mode, if you will. I think our running game will be pretty good with a healthy offensive line. Takes up a lot of heat off of Stafford, not getting hit so much. And with our wideouts fully healthy, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, which one of these guys would be our go-to? Still have Aberderis as a backup wideout, one of Aaron Rodgers' old favorites back in the day. We are hurting at tight end, though, only getting Miller from the Seattle Seahawks. Thought we would have gotten Jimmy Graham, but he ended up going to a rival in the Packers, so we settled for a pretty good blocking tight end. He's no Darren Fells, who is now with the Cleveland Browns, by the way. But we have Miller, and I believe we drafted a tight end. I'm not sure. But he's still a pretty good blocker for Matthew Stafford, so we will have a little more help on that offensive line to keep him healthy. The guy Zach Miller, from what I can see in Seattle, who does not use their tight end too much, made most of his chances and had pretty good hands. So with that being said, I think we'll survive at tight end. We should be pretty good on the offensive line and running game and wideout. Defense for the Detroit Lions. Nevin Lawson, my man, coming back better than ever. Hopefully he reduces the number of penalties he gets this year. Quandre Diggs has been special for us. Glover Quinn is always special for us. Big play. Slay, our biggest defensive player at the defensive back position. I believe we'll have another year. Hopefully the name to Earth will stick this year, seeing as how he said he can cover anybody on planet Earth. Our schedule is a bit tougher this year. We're going to see bigger, better wideouts. Let's see if that name actually sticks this year. Big Play Slate, however, is still that guy's name to me. Loving a new haircut, by the way. With that being said, defensive tackles is the only thing that worried me. We still have Ziggy Ashan, who is set to be a free agent after this year. Hopefully we can get him to sign the extension and get him some help on the defensive end and up front with that rushing four. Linebackers, Jared Davis, pretty content with him being our new play caller, him and Glover Quinn. I like the rest of our linebackers. We're having faith in some of our draft pick, not making big moves in the deadline or in the offseason. Aben should be the guy for the job, and I'm just excited about the Detroit Lions. A little under 90 seconds left. If you guys want to shout out your home team and what you expect, please call in for the time that we have left, 949-270-5945, and give your whole team a shout out or what you expect from them this year. That being said, me and Devontae will be on Darrell's head about this fantasy football. I'm ready to start doing my mock draft, scouting players and doing my homework, looking at players like Dalvin Cook returning to the Minnesota Vikings, a couple of Broncos players, of course, the Steelers, Patriots, my Detroit Lions, Kansas City, so many teams, defenses, players at different positions to pick from. Waiting for Dez Bryant to be signed as well. With that being said, I think I will watch a bit more of the Big Three game when they came here to the Little Caesars Arena. I did miss them, however, and I miss Ron Artest, or should I say, Meta World Peace, getting ejected yet again at the Palace. Well, in Detroit. Malice at the Palace Part 2, I guess the people were calling it, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Anywho, I would have loved to see some of my old favorite players, Ice Cube, at the Big Three Arena with affordable. So make sure you guys check that out. My name is Troy Granville, and this is Sports Underline New. Make sure to tune in later on today. Peace out.